Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
An expert group has warned the government that the generally positive attitudes in Ireland towards asylum seekers and Ukrainian refugees could change with the potential for racist tension and confrontation. Now, to talk about the report's findings and recommendations, I'm joined by one of the report's authors, member of the external advisory group to Minister O'Gorman, Dr. Catherine Day, a former Secretary General of the European Commission. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you might explain to our listeners, first of all, Catherine, your brief.
Well, in the programme for government, which is the programme that determines the policies this government follows, they issued a commitment to end direct provision, which is the system in which we have been keeping asylum seekers. And on foot of that, there was the government published a white paper, and David Donoghue, Lorcan Sir, and myself, who were the three members of the independent external advisory group, we are advising Minister O'Gorman on implementation of that policy.
Now, you made a number of observations and a number of recommendations, and one of the first issues, I suppose, is who is responsible for those coming in, either as refugees seeking asylum or that special status given to Ukrainians where they could function literally as if they were members of the EU in terms of working and so on?
Yes, well, the state is responsible because the state has international and EU obligations arising from our basic commitment to human rights and to protecting and supporting people who are fleeing for their lives in terms of persecution. And as we know, we live in a very unsettled world. And one of our main points is that Ireland needs to build into its future planning the sad fact that we will probably have a flow of people seeking asylum here every year for the foreseeable future. We can't predict the numbers. We hope that they will be small because we hope that the war and conflict will not be at the level it is at the moment. But we do need to take their long-term needs as our part of our future population into account. We do have a strict system for deciding who gets to stay in Ireland, but for the people who do get to stay and for those who have made applications while their applications are being processed, we need to provide extra accommodation. And in that white paper that I mentioned, the state has taken a commitment to build six reception and integration centres. That's where people go as soon as they arrive if they don't have any accommodation themselves. Mm. And I'm not talking now about Ukrainian refugees who come to Ireland under separate legislation. We're talking here about other people fleeing war and persecution in other parts of the world. We're all very focused on Ukraine at the moment, but sadly there are lots of other terrible things happening in other countries around the world.
Yeah. Now, what you're saying really is that this trend of international migration to the more developed parts of the world, it's not going to change. There will be more conflict, unfortunately, we know that. There will be more climate-generated famine and reasons why people migrate. One of the scandals, I suppose, in this country is how long it takes. And it gets to the point where people who may have no real entitlement to stay here under any rules we may make have been here so long being processed that their children have been born here and are in education here. And it would be unconscionable at that point to expel them.
Well, I think that is the general view because people feel that those who've been here for several years and tried to make a life here should not now be deported. But the white paper contains a very comprehensive approach to all of this. It involves speeding up the taking of decisions so that the situation that you describe is not repeated in the future, and then helping people to integrate those who get permission to integrate long term into Ireland. And what's happened now is that we don't have sufficient, what we call in our report, surge capacity, basic decent accommodation to accommodate people as soon as they arrive. And we all have seen in the last months some people being turned away homeless, and more people having to sleep on floors and chairs in City West, for example. So these reception centres would be designed to provide first call accommodation for people arriving while they get the preliminaries of their applications underway. And we're then suggesting in what the white paper calls phase two, to move people around the country in working closely with the local authorities to, on the basis of a distribution key, which should take into account capacity of different areas to absorb new people. And a second point we make in our report is the need for much more ongoing communication with local communities. I think there is a genuine sympathy and openness on the part of most Irish people to help people who are fleeing different kinds of conflict and persecution. But there's an understandable concern as well in different communities as to what will be the impact on local services. And we think that there needs to be a permanent campaign of involving and listening to local communities so that their concerns are heard and taken into account as much as possible.
Now,
and also to create a positive, welcoming environment for the unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pointed out yesterday that if, for example, a school is going to lose a teacher and then suddenly you've got new children arriving who are asylum seekers or is somewhere in the refugee processing system, that they suddenly arrive at the school and the teacher stays. You know, there may be bonuses for local communities.
Yes, or even extra teachers in certain areas. You know, it may be the difference for, let's say, a smaller area to either, you know, have a new vitality in it because there are new people coming in who actively want to make their life there and who are delighted with the opportunity to be somewhere safe.
It's been pointed out in places like Killarney, for example, that you can have a disproportionate number of new people coming in compared not to the tourist numbers but to the permanent population, which may tilt the balance in some way, and maybe they feel... you know, Killarney's been used because of the huge numbers of hotels available, but really it's not fair on Killarney to disproportionately ask them to take so many and other places not touched at all by the immigration happening.
Well, we're in an emergency situation. I mean, I think not only Ireland, but most of Europe has been overwhelmed by the influx following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So we have to be understanding of that. And hotels are not a suitable place for anybody, but particularly families, to stay over long periods of time. So again, we come back to delivering on the white paper, which should be focusing on providing a permanent solution to the fact that we will be receiving asylum seekers every year and accommodating them in own-door accommodation so that they can look after themselves.
Yeah. But your idea is that the 4,500 people who'd go to these six new centres, they would only be transiting there because there'll be more people coming who need those reception facilities rather than the ongoing integration facilities. So what is to happen to every time you have a new influx, people in the 4,500 places that you envisage would have to move on? Who would house them? Where would they go?
Well, as you yourself said, Pat, it's important to keep people moving through the system. Otherwise, people are stuck for years in direct provision, which is a system that has been criticised both here in Ireland and internationally. So if we are calling on the International Protection Office to speed up the processing of applications to decide whether people can or cannot remain in Ireland, then for those who remain, we need a system that keeps moving people. And what we have suggested is that, what we've recommended, is that there should be the Department of Housing should work out with the local authorities a distribution key that takes account of the capacity of different areas to absorb new arrivals, and to work on a program of either renting or renovating or building new housing to accommodate what is in fact an increase in our own population. And the reason why we're saying these numbers have to be built into the future population planning is to make sure that the services are available for the number of people who will actually be living there.
Yeah. Now, what do you say then to people who will criticise all of this and say, look, we can't house our own, never mind these people that you want to get into the local authority housing system when there are people on the housing list for years who can't get local authority housing? So what to do now?
Well, we have an accommodation, we have a housing problem, but I don't think that's a reason to turn away people who are being fleeing in fear of their lives. I think Ireland in the past has had a history, Irish people have had a history of being made welcome and accepted in other countries. And I think we are a prosperous enough country to be able to do both. There's a huge programme underway now to sort out the housing problem, the domestic housing problem, if I can call it that. And we're talking about relatively small numbers. We're not even talking about 2% of the population. So we are able to do this. It's a question of organising ourselves. And that's what our group has been advising on, is some short-term measures and then some longer-term measures, because we have to recognise it will take a number of years to get to a more satisfactory situation, but we won't get there if we don't start now.
And the fear that racial tensions may arise in this country, where they have not been typical, it has to be said, if there is perceived to be some sort of favouritism or the overlooking of the local population to the benefit of those coming in.
I think we're very far from talking about favouritism. We're talking about not treating people who are fleeing in fear of their lives in a very unacceptable way. We are talking about trying to find a solution that works for everybody. And that goes to the heart of our recommendation that these, at least an estimation of the future flows, has to be built into our population projections and planning, because the people who get permission to stay here will be more than happy to stay here and build new lives here. But their number has to be counted in the way that we look at future housing needs, schooling needs, healthcare needs, etc.
And finally, what about people who play the system, who arrive here, and they're absolutely, you know, economic migrants? They're not fleeing any kind of persecution because there's, you know, no systematic persecution in their countries. You know, should we deal with them much more quickly to keep the numbers down? Either say, come in and work, or go home.
Well, yes, I think we, in fairness to everybody, we have to process the applications more quickly, and that is being done. That's part of the White Paper recommendations. And the ESRI has just published a very interesting but complicated study on migration flows, saying that there's no one reason why people come to Ireland. And in fact, a lot of people don't necessarily set out to come to Ireland, but they end up here for different reasons. I think, you know, the idea that people are false asylum seekers, that they're coming for economic reasons, is exaggerated. I think that's a very small number. But the
I can mention Albania and Georgia, for example.
Yes, we have said in our report that there may be a small minority coming from what Ireland considers to be safe countries of origin. Those are countries where, in principle, there is no state persecution. There's no, let's say, trigger reason for people to seek asylum if they're coming from those countries. And the International Protection Office has announced that it's going to speed up the processing of those applications so that people will get a quick decision, yes or no. In our report, we say, well, if there is any risk of economic migration, and given that Ireland has a labour shortage in a wide variety of sectors, perhaps consideration should be given to opening up more employment permits for people coming from those countries. And many of the it's a short list, but most of the countries on that list are future candidates for EU membership. So we should perhaps consider opening up our labour market to them and then treating them differently, and then applying the policy that if you come from a safe country of origin, you're not eligible for asylum here.
Catherine, thank you very much for joining us. Catherine Day, who's a member of that advisory group to the Minister and former Secretary General to the European Commission.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.